Adam Shog from TSN joins us. And Shogger, you know, the interesting part of the appeal is that he was basically said, hey, I wanted to call a penalty on Nashville early in this period, or because it couldn't have been early in the game because the game was 25 minutes old. Like, that's the part of it that seems odd to me, like why he felt, you know, now I didn't watch the game. I don't know if there was tons of missed infractions that they felt like they had to make up for, or who knows, but that does seem like an odd comment at that time.
Yeah, I mean, for sure it does. But, I mean, there's a couple things to keep in mind here. One, you know, these kind of conversations happen between officials at every whistle. Every commercial break, they stand there and go, yeah, yeah. They talk about game management. They talk about how the game's going. You know, I'm sure they look at video between periods. Game management by officials is a thing, and it always has been a thing. And if the NHL is so offended by the idea that a referee might be looking for a call to make up, you know, for the way the game has gone and maybe lacks his standards because it's been a little lopsided or whatever, you know, if they think that there's none of that going on, then, you know, they're not watching their own games. Like, we all know it goes on. So if they wanted that out of the game, if that is such an egregious idea that they wanted that out of the game, they should have been working on that over the last two decades. They could have that out of the game. But this is the way games are refereed. And different referees do it to different degrees. So a guy gets caught on an open mic that should have never been open. Somebody in a truck screwed that up. Saying something to an official that he would probably never say to anybody else on the planet other than another guy that does what he does. These guys, they talk to each other. You know, they travel together. They have conversations about the way the games are going. So this just to me, I mean, like, I get it, an integrity of the game and all that, but, like, game management happens, and an open mic caught two refs talking about game management, and the guy got fired.
Well, technically he didn't get fired, right? He just is, well, he's not going to call anymore. Yeah, he's not calling any more game, but I'll say this about it.
An unceremonious exit after a long career.
Sure. If he's not retiring, though, in a month, do you think the same reaction happens?
But why were they so harsh?
Because it's an easy cop-out. It makes it look like, oh, look at us. We're taking this very serious to a guy that we know, like, I don't know how many games he has in the next month, 10, right? I have no idea what his schedule would be like. Does he go every second day? So let's say 15 at the most. But even, like, players, they're going to get some time off. So I'm going to say 10 games. It's like, we know Tim's leaving after 10 games. Sorry, Tim. You aired. You're going to take one for the team here, and you're done.
But what you can do is you can say, listen, you know, we were concerned about what we heard, and, you know, we feel it's time to do a bit of a review on the way referees are handling these games and this idea of game management. So we're going to review the situation with Tim, and we're going to have a broader review of the way that our guys are managing games and making sure that this is where we need it to be. And then you pare back his schedule. Maybe he doesn't ref another game. Maybe that's just the way it ends up going. You pull him off the road and he does something else or whatever. But they decimated him in that release today. Decimated him. And he's right at the end of his career. So that was like, they came off the top rope at a guy. And it's like, for something that we all know damn well goes on out there. We all know that there's game management among officials. So yeah, he got caught red-handed. And with an open mic that wasn't his fault, having a conversation with another official. We're not supposed to hear those conversations with other officials.
Now, Shogger, you say that we all know there's managing games. Can you name an Oiler game, because those are the ones you watch the most, that you're like, wow, this ref was really managing the game? Is there one that stands out?
Oh, I don't know. You're putting me on the spot. Are you telling me you've never watched a game and watched one team get a couple of calls?
No, no, no.
And then
you're
like, oh, look out, there's a call coming back the other way, and it's a bit of a soft one. We always look at each other and go, makeup call. That's exactly what game management is.
Yeah,
my point,
yes, it exists, but to what level? Are we talking 10% of the games? Because look at the Toronto games. Edmonton played Toronto twice, didn't get a power play in each one. Right? In two of those three games, they didn't even get a power play. There was the Ottawa game earlier where the Oilers had four or five power plays in a row. Right? And because even after the second one, oh, next one's them. No, it was Ottawa. Next. And Ottawa's the worst team in the league. Right? So I do agree that sometimes it happens. I'm not arguing that.
Right.
But I'm saying that we throw out makeup calls, like the term, like it happens, like rampant.
It does. It happens regularly. Makeup calls are a thing in this game. They are, and they have been for a long time. So you catch a ref talking on an open mic about a makeup call, and the NHL is like clutching their pearls, firing, you know, basically punting the guy. It's like, come on, this has been in the game forever. So if you want to do a review and maybe get your refs to not do this so much, some do it more than others, some do it all the time, some never do it, but everybody knows this goes on in the game. So don't act like, oh my goodness, we can't believe that this was would be happening in one of our games and he will never ref again for us. Like, what?
Oh, no, I agree. Hey, Colin Campbell, when he's the guy talking about integrity, and he's the guy who court cases, we got to see all the emails of him complaining about officials on calls to his kid, like, give me a break, when he's working at the league. So
it just seems to me like they, you know, they didn't like what they heard, fair enough. They're concerned about the optics and the integrity of the game, fair enough. There's a way to have had Tim Peel not ref a game for the rest of the year, but to have also taken a bit of responsibility for the situation as a league and maybe talked about, hey, we're going to review some things. We're going to evaluate some things. Now, the one thing I'll say about this situation, Greg, is we don't know what we don't know, right? These guys are monitored all the time. Maybe they'd had it with Tim Peel. Maybe this was his, like, fifth warning and enough is enough, or maybe he was, like, we don't know what the situation was. What I can say is he did not get treated like a veteran NHL referee who clearly made a mistake, but who would be given the benefit of the doubt overall and somewhat protected. This guy was served up on a platter a day later.
It did seem, because honestly, I was skiing, and so I try to be away when I'm on with family holidays. I try not to be away. So I caught up, and I was just like, so I'm waiting to see it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, Tim Peel. I'm like, he must have just done something horrible. So I go watch it. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then I listened to it. I'm like, yeah, okay, not smart. But I did feel like, oh, like I almost felt like let down. Like I was expecting Tim Peel to, like, you know, is he Ned Braden and he's stripping off of his clothes on center ice or
that's
something?
Like, listen, a couple of weeks ago we were on a Zoom call and I was interviewing Leon Draisaitl. And it was like I wasn't sure when it was going to be my turn. And all of a sudden Ryan Rashad from TSN, and now, okay, you're up. And the question I was going to ask, for some reason, kind of fell out of my head. My point is, I had a momentary lapse where I wasn't quite on, and so I started asking questions. I asked him some stupid-ass question, because I was trying to cover, and then it was just, and then I sort of joked, I'm like, and Leon goes, what was the question? I'm like, yeah, sorry, that was no good. Let me try that again, right? What happened to me there?
Which day was this? Because I recall this happening lots of times. You need to be more specific.
Yeah. Leon will tell you it happens all the time. My point is, that's a momentary lapse in judgment in an important moment for me, right? It's public. It ends up on these Zoom calls. Everybody can see it. Now, I would have easily turned to a colleague of mine and gone, holy smokes, like, you know, what was I thinking there? Or maybe I would have said something like, yeah, let's say I asked him a question that was a little bit unfair or a little bit too harsh, and I turn to a colleague and go, yeah, that one got away from me a little bit, but, you know, I felt like I needed to punch back a little bit there. My point is, we talk to our colleagues in a way that isn't necessarily meant for public consumption, about the nuances of the way we do our job. And we all have momentary lapses in the way things go in our job. So it's just like, I get it. They want to play it like this cut to the heart of the integrity of the game so deeply that it just could not be tolerated. I don't buy that. This is something we all know is in the game. And if they want to do something to address that, great. But you don't need a fall guy for that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. To me, that's why I thought Tim Peel was the easy scapegoat here for the NHL. So my question is, we have Carey Fraser coming up. Like, I wonder if the NHL, and it's not just like it's the NHL, it's the owners, it's the managers. There's lots of people involved in hockey that, like, I'm not sold that they feel that officiating is really impacting their game that negatively. Otherwise, there'd be a change. Because they make other changes, sometimes almost willy-nilly. They haven't really made much of a drastic change. The most drastic was when they changed the rules coming out of the lockout in 05-06. And after 1 year, they're like, well, geez, we can't do that. So then they slowly backed off. And I really haven't seen much of an effort.
Evolution.
So I guess the question is, do you think officiating outside of it creates controversy and topics for fans and media and everybody? Do you think the league is just like, hey, we're fine with it? You know, a little bit of controversy is good.
I think the league has made efforts over the years to cut out human error from the game when it comes to officiating by overdoing it with some of their rules and reviews. I think you'd agree with me on a couple of fronts there. You know, I think that there's certain human error that's always going to be part of the game. You know, oh, soft call by the ref. You know, that's part of what happens in a playoff series. Oh, you know, it's part of the drama. And in the big picture, it's part of the story. Now, you don't want your refs getting in the way and making a mess of things constantly in big moments, right? You don't want that. But I don't think that the NHL overall would point to a whole bunch of examples and say, here's how it's been a major issue. So I think overall they're happy with it, because by the time the real spotlight is on, it's kind of pared down to their best few guys. They've shown that when they want to change the way they call things, they can do it. As a group, they can do it. We've seen it with the taps on the hands. You know, we've seen pushes in different areas for them to be more consistent on things. They have the ability to do it. And if game management was so, hey, stop managing games. If Nashville happens to take 5 penalties in a row because they're playing like dummies, then they can live with that, and you got to stand by your calls. Don't feel like you got to make it up. Just call the game straight, right? Maybe they are saying that behind the scenes. Maybe that's exactly what they say behind the scenes, and they're sick and tired of these guys who keep freelancing, and that's why they were mad at this guy, and that's what they did. I don't know. What do they ask Kerry that? What does the league tell refs about managing games, and if it's something that should be even part of their thought process?
Yeah, no, that's what we're gonna ask Fraser, because I wonder, is Tim Peel, like, part of me says, okay, he's acting on his own, but then when his partner says, I know, that's when I'm like, well, if he's saying that, now maybe he's just saying it to try to calm down the situation, but that makes me wonder if you know, others didn't feel the same. Now, I assume that was his partner who said,
yeah,
I know.
You talk to your colleagues different sometimes. Like, and I think we can all relate to this, and, you know, I'm not going to get into details, but I think you and I would agree, Gregs. We sit together close in the press box. We turn to each other and sometimes say things that I would not just say on the radio, right? You're a buddy. You're a colleague. You know, we talk sometimes, and it's not something that I would say,
oh,
you know,
totally.
Is representative,
yeah,
of every part of my being, right? I'm not always, yeah, at my absolute best with every single interaction that we have. But it's not meant for public consumption. That moment was not meant for public consumption, and it so happens that it did. Now, if an NHL mic caught you or I saying something and it gets thrown out there, it's the risk we run working around live mics and doing what we do. But Tim Peel shouldn't reasonably expect any of that to be caught on. You know, and I guess refs need to keep that in mind now. From now on, every time that mic is on, you assume that it has a chance to go out, especially near commercial breaks or if you've just called a penalty and clicked your mic on or off. Like, there are certain things I absolutely will not do or say around what I know to be a live or a hot mic. And maybe, yeah, that's from 2 decades of broadcasting. Maybe that's, you know, they're learning this one the tough way a little bit.
That's very true. It is very true. There's lots of times, even when I'm at home and I ask Connor, is mic off, just because we're going to have a conversation and you want,
exactly,
to make sure. So
yeah,
I totally get it. I totally get it. It'll be quickly, Shogger, Oilers Montreal. The only way these games are getting played is at the end of the season. Like, I looked at the schedule. There's no way you can squeeze in these games. Montreal's already playing 22 games in their next 42 days. They can't play 25.
Yeah. Well, the Oilers have a later schedule through April here.
Yeah.
They
but
Montreal would be able does. To, but Montreal can't.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, guess you got to cram them in at the end. You know, imagine if there's playoff spots in positioning on the line, which there likely will be, and man, oh man, you know, so while it's beneficial for them this week to maybe get a breather, they're going to pay a price for it somewhere down the road, and it's not going to be fun. And I think Tippett knows that, so they got to just make the best they can of this and try and hit Toronto fresh and grab 2, if not 3 or 4 points out of there.
Shogger, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, you too, pal. Take care.